This is not an easy decision for any of us. And much as my colleagues may say otherwise, this is not something we relish. For over a year, I resisted this whole idea of going down the road to impeachment. But it was made necessary, and not by the whistleblower, but by the actions of the president. I'm continually struck how my colleagues would suggest that because the president got caught, we should ignore the fact that he was conditioning official acts in order to get political favors, in order to get an investigation against his rival. Getting caught is no defense, not to a violation of the Constitution or to a violation of his oath of office, and it certainly doesn't give us a reason to ignore our own oath of office. We are adjourned.
Today is Wednesday, November 20th, 2019, and my name is Adam. Hello, everyone, and welcome to Geeky Gay. This is the show where I talk about my life 5 days a week, and you listen, and today is no different. How is everyone? I thought we would start with a little Adam Schiff, because, you know, why not? Both of us have the same name. Adam Burns, Adam Schiff. I thought it was appropriate. Anyway, so yeah, I thought that was pretty good. I've been doing a lot of thinking about the whole impeachment, as you guys know, and I honestly can't believe that. Well, first of all, I mean, I just can't believe that people would blindly, you know, just ignore facts. And just, you know, like, there are all these facts. Every day we get a witness who's closer and closer. And, you know, for a long time it was like, oh, it's all hearsay. It's, you know, no one knows the president. They haven't talked to the president. They don't know what he was saying. Yada, yada, yada. You know, it was all of that. And then now it's like, well, you don't know the president well enough. You know, when Sondland testified today and basically said, yes, there was quid pro quo, which I hate that word. Yes, there, you know, lots of people knew about it. Yes, there was, you know, all of this kind of stuff. And the Republicans are just like grasping at straws and they're hateful. Anyway, so I really liked Adam Schiff's closing remarks because the Democrats really are, if you think about it, this is not going to help I don't believe this is going to help the Democrats. Like, they're not going to, you know, the Democrats aren't going to win brownie points in the next election. And if anything, it's going to, you know, inspire Trump's base to get out in droves and vote more. So I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I'm not really sure if I think the Democrats are going out on a bit of a limb because, you know, he's not going to get removed. They're going to impeach him because they have the majority in the House. And then when it gets to the Senate, the Senate's going to do just like a cursory, you know, enough to make it look like they really had an investigation. And then they're just going to, you know, because they have the majority in the Senate, they're just going to, you know, acquit him or whatever it is. But anyway, I just, you know, I liked the closing statement. But I want to read an article, and I know I've been focusing a lot on Chick-fil-A. And for those of you who hate this new political version of me, it'll end. I promise. It'll end. But I do want to read this because this exactly is my opinion on the whole Chick-fil-A thing. So I want to read it. And it was written by a lesbian. Her name is Allison Hope. And it's an opinion piece on CNN.com. Came out today. And she says, Chick-fil-A is clucking about ending donations to religious anti-LGBTQ organizations. Without citing which organizations the cow-friendly fast food chain would now partner with, a company spokesperson confirmed Monday they would focus their foundation's giving on, quote, education, homelessness, and hunger. Many in the LGBTQ community reacted to the news, understandably, with caution, and then there's a quote by GLAAD's director of campaigns saying, basically that Chick-fil-A needed further transparency. They were cautious about this. And then Allison goes on to say, cautious and condemnatory are two different things. And the latter approach taken by many LGBTQ folks online could backfire. And this was my exact point. Like, I understand GLAAD being cautious, but all of the stuff on Twitter and all over the internet has been condemnatory. And so she goes on to say, I'm a lesbian with a long history of activism. I know firsthand that protests work to get attention when nothing else does. And then you shove your hand in the slightly open door that's been locked for years and you shake the slimy hand on the other side. Because then they listen when you talk. Because then you can build influence and you can, with time, help turn one small win into many more victories and create meaningful and long-lasting change. It's easy to sit in our slacktivist silos and preach, but for anyone who has ever seen how legislative or policy change actually works in government or big business, the path to progress nearly always involves compromise. If you dig your heels in and don't budge and point fingers at progress because it's not enough, you may find yourself waist deep in a vat of chicken fat in perpetuity. The comments on social media in response to the Chick-fil-A announcement were nothing short of cancel culture's finest hour. And she went on to quote a couple of things. My favorite one was, I wouldn't eat Chick-fil-A if it were free, and while I'm at it, Hobby Lobby can keep their hate-filled, sparkly, inspirational garbage as well. Someone else says, it's too late. We all know who they are and what they believe. Snark and puns have also run rampant, but behind some of the fun lies real vitriol, a certain air of, quote, we don't care if you're doing better, you still suck, that could come to bite us. And by us, I mean the LGBTQ community, our allies, and anyone who is invested in achieving social equality. While a fast food corporation with billions of dollars and a homophobic history doesn't exactly need or deserve LGBTQ folks' sympathy, it is possible we could be doing more harm than good by reacting this way after this tiny pawn was moved to our advantage. It's true that Chick-fil-A didn't cite us as an impetus for the sea change, an awakening of true belief that LGBTQ inclusivity and equality mattered, and it seems clear the public pressure and negative press coverage was a contributing factor. It's also possible they may backtrack on their word and continue to fund anti-LGBTQ causes. And she goes on to say, but if we condemn them, even while they're making moves to be better, regardless of the reason, and especially when right-wingers are also bashing them, we risk alienating them and others who are watching. All of the powerful, influential consumer brands and politicians that make decisions in our name and that impact us and our families each and every day may think twice about changing their tunes. They may say, hey, this company tried to do the right by people and they still condemned them. Why bother? The left dogma is right in line with what former President Barack Obama recently said, that there's, quote, this idea of purity and you're never compromised and you're always politically woke and all that stuff. You should get over that quickly. The world is messy. There are ambiguities. People who do really good stuff have flaws. People who are fighting may love their kids and share certain things with you. We live in a society with a multitude of views. Most people aren't dreadful human beings, though to be clear, some are. They just haven't been exposed to the information that feels like second nature to some of us. Once a straight person meets someone who is LGBTQ, they are overwhelmingly more likely to be pro-LGBTQ equal rights. We will be much more successful and peaceful if we engage in respectful discourse, acknowledge efforts made, and firmly but diplomatically push for more. We don't need to celebrate the chicken giant or go eat a Chick-fil-A sandwich by any means, but we can keep some of the snark at bay and give them the benefit of the doubt. That doesn't mean we shouldn't let them know we're keeping a watchful eye to ensure they actually follow through and continue to improve, but it shouldn't come at the cost of our civility. So I just wanted to, I know I took most of my, man, I've been Chick-fil-A-ing and Trump impeachmenting like for a week. My apologies. I don't know why I apologize so much. It's my show. Anyway, so that exactly sums up. She said it so eloquently I was just like, oh my God, all this snark on the internet, all this bashing is not getting anyone anywhere. Like, we should at least acknowledge that they're trying to make steps. So I posted that on my Twitter. I highly recommend, I mean, I know I just read the whole thing, but if you want to read it, you can look on my Twitter and find the link. Other than that, obviously, as usual, nothing has gone on. I did want to mention we are going to Austin for Thanksgiving. And I've been planning out my spreadsheet and everything, you know, and so I've been trying to pick restaurants, and I did some looking on OpenTable and some stuff like that. And I did find a restaurant that's doing a menu on Thanksgiving lunch that looked good to me. It's called Crew Food and Wine Bar, I think is the name of it. Now I'm going to get it wrong. But anyway, so I went ahead and made reservations for that. And then I found another restaurant that we're going to do on Friday evening. And interestingly enough, I found a sushi place that's like won a James Beard Award and like all this stuff. It's called Uchi, I think. I'm trying to look. I'm trying to open OpenTable while I'm talking. But I obviously am not doing a very good job. But the name of the... I can't. Uchi? I'm looking now to see if there's a Uchi Austin. Yeah. But unfortunately, we had already booked this show, Esther's Follies, on Friday night. And Uchi only had reservations at the exact same time as Esther's Follies. Mark loves sushi, and I would love to take him to a James Beard Award-winning sushi place. They did have some other stuff on the menu that I could eat that's not raw fish. But I couldn't replace the tickets to a different showing of that Esther's Follies because everything else was either sold out or there were no other times. Like, they're not doing the show on Thanksgiving and we're leaving Saturday morning, so really Friday night was the only time we could do it. So that's a little bit of a bummer, but I did select another restaurant for Friday night that looks really good and was another kind of suggested one by OpenTable. And so we'll see how that goes. All right, well, I'm going to go ahead and end it here, and I'll say again, I'll try to be less political on the next one. For more episodes, you can go to geekygay.com. You can also email me, adamburns.uk@gmail.com, and you can find many more LGBT and LGBTQ-friendly podcasts at pride48.com. Talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye, everyone.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Network. Find all the best shows under the rainbow at pride48.com.